unknown preacher. Hey, hey, it's the unknown preacher. Beautiful people, Unknown Preacher LA, season 6, episode 3. I got her back with me, y'all. Tatiana, what's up, Tots?
I'm just living my best life. You know, I got my hair done today, so I'm feeling pretty good.
That's what's up, man. God is good. God is good. I have been really juggling a whole lot, and I came to a conclusion. I think I shared with you that I'm really getting ready to step back on some things. I think I'm gonna start with not promoting so many events. That's where I'm gonna start with. It's a start.
That's fair, unless they're your specific events, then that's cool. But everybody else's events, you don't need to do that. You need to chill.
Well, you know, I have an album out now, and I may have to make a few appearances.
So, I mean, right? But if you make an appearance, is that the same as promoting it?
No, I don't have to do the work, the marketing, getting the artists together, paying artists, you know, collaborating with, you know, a church or institution. I don't have to do all that. That's a lot of work. All I have to do is show up.
Yeah, so you can do appearances. That's okay. You can, for now, we'll revisit this later. Keep that on. But yeah, promoting other people's events, we don't need to do that.
All right. So that's progress, right?
Yeah, and that's all we can ask. Nobody's asking for perfection.
Yes, yes. So, last week, you called me out, as you always do. You wanted to know why I didn't agree with you, which I don't know if me being in disagreement is the right, is accurate. But, yeah, let's tell our listeners about what was going on if they didn't get to listen to last week's episode. What was going on and what you did.
I didn't.
What?
I didn't use the word disagreement. I said you sent me a post on social media that was about the University of Michigan. They recently announced a situation or a decision to move away from doing letter grades for some of their freshmen and instead do pass or no credit on transcripts for incoming freshman students to support their mental health. So basically they'll still get letter grades in the class, but on their actual transcript, they're just gonna see a pass or no credit that will not impact their GPA. And the purpose of this was to promote positive mental health for their incoming students. And when you sent me that, I said I was okay with it. And you did a wow reaction and didn't say anything. And so I just wanted to know why you did the wow reaction and what you thought about that.
Well, I'll say, and shame on me, I assumed, because you are a professor, you're an educator, I just knew you were going to say we're polluting, well, diluting the education process. So I was shocked with your response. I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of torn. I see the spirit behind it. I think it's a good move, but you know what? I didn't know. So you're saying that the letter grades are still, they still will be applicable. They still will, there's space for that in this process still. You just won't see it on the transcript.
Yeah, so there's letter grades. So it's basically like, even in my classes, the students know what, for example, their percentage is in my class. Like, for instance, I had a student who reached out to me because he didn't get all of the points on a certain thing. He's like, what's up with my points? And I was like, guy, you have a 96 in the class. Like, your letter grade is an A. Your letter grade is an A. All you're going to see on the transcript is the letter grade. Nobody's going to know that it wasn't 100% A. then you have a 96% A. So, like, in the actual class, they'll still know their letter grades on assignments or, like, what their full percentages or whatever. But in terms of the permanent record that's on their transcript that, you know, maybe an external party might want to look at, it'll just be the pass or the no credit. And I believe they said something about them using the letter grades internally for accreditation kind of thing that they might need it for. But just, like, in terms of externally on the transcript that students might use with employers or whatever they might need a transcript for, it would just say pass or no credit on those specific freshman classes.
Yeah. And I will tell you, and I don't know how much you, I have seen the other side of it and the stress related to grades, especially around exams. And I can tell you, there's an enormous amount of stress on those students, like never before. Like, they look at it, the pressure they get now is at another level. And so I can see why you would visit this and say, hey, let's give it a try. And the good part for me is that it's only applying to freshmen, because when you're a freshman, even in high school, I remember my freshman year in high school, freshman year in college was a little different for me, because I was a little older. I took a 2-year break, but your freshman year in college, freshman year in high school, you're trying to adjust. And I think that's the toughest year. If you think about it, I think the toughest time, you're going into that institution, you're trying to understand the process, the culture of that institution, the expectations of the professors. So it's a lot to deal with. So I actually think it's a good idea. But I do, I always have concerns about the quality of education in any academic environment. That's just, I don't know. I've just seen things, and with good intentions, I've seen things go sideways.
Well, I will say that this is not really a new. So, well, I'll say for one, I think they're just testing this out. I believe it's going to roll out next fall, and they'll kind of see how it goes and then reevaluate from there. But also, this isn't really a new thing. When I was an undergrad, for many classes, not all classes, like some of your major classes, as opposed to like your general electives, I mean, your general education requirement or your electives, you could change your class's grading mechanism and say that they would allow you, after you were starting a class, to change the grading mechanism on that specific class. So let's say that I was taking a class and it was really well, and I thought I was going to get a C, because you have to have at least a C to get the pass. Yeah. I was getting a C, maybe I have straight A's and I don't want it to mess up my GPA or whatever. I could say I want to change this class from graded to pass, no pass. Mm-hmm. And then just switch for that only class and get the pass, no pass. You could only do it for certain classes, like for major classes. If you were like a math major, you couldn't do it for like your math classes, but you could do it for your general education requirements or your electives or things like that to not impact your GPA. So it's not really new. And also during COVID-19, you know, that pandemic happened while I was in my doctoral program. And because for graduate school, they didn't allow us to do the pass, no pass. That was like an undergrad thing. But when they shut the campus down and shut the university down, they switched classes to pass, no pass. So like halfway through the semester, knowing that everything was shutting down, you could get the pass, no pass. And so that option became available only like during that time. So there's kind of, and people were dealing with a lot of mental health kind of issues with the stress of that time as well. So that's kind of why it's also popping up for me. But just to say, you know, there's some precedent for doing this kind of thing, and it's not really new. And so that's kind of why, even as an educator, I don't really have an issue with it.
So Tap-In is a events ticketing / artist promoting platform. There's three features that come with Tap-In, which is really awesome. One, we make it easy to discover events that are in your local area. Also, for artists who are, you know, event planners or organizers who want to sell tickets to their events, we make sure that you keep 100% of your ticket sales. Number two, we wanted to make sure that artists can build a community around themselves and their events. And then number three, A lot of times you'll hear an artist say, visit my website, visit my portfolio, take this QR code. Well, we wanted to make it easy and actually add those portfolios and websites into the app so that it's all in one place. Mm-hmm. So consider it like almost like a one-stop shop for artists and event organizers and planners. It is available to download and use. It is on both Apple Store and Google Play Store.
All right, beautiful people, we are back. And today we're going to do something a little different. You know, you hear on the show, we're always talking about reaching out to our young people and really serving them. But today I want us to do something that's more effective, and that's listen to what they're thinking, what they're saying, because sometimes as adults we spend so much time talking about young people and we forget to, what word am I, to talk to them, right? So today, man, I'm so excited. I met this group on the Juneteenth event. We were in together, and it was just a phenomenal experience. So I'm sitting down with members of the, and I love this name, y'all, the coolest name, the Poetic Justice League. And they're out of Carrboro, North Carolina, man. And these young people, wow, they use poetry to express themselves. They're telling stories. They're talking about difficult issues. They just really, they do and say the things that spark those healthy conversations. So I believe it's super, super important. So I want you all to listen to what they have to say. But let's start by the simplest thing I can say is ask you all to introduce yourselves and tell me what the Poetic Justice League means to you. So let's start with Jim. Tell us to introduce yourself.
Hi guys, I'm Jem and I'm a sophomore. For me, the Poetic Justice League means everything to me. It helps me develop my voice and it helps me connect more with the community and my friends.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you. Naomi.
Hey everyone, I'm Naomi. I'm a senior. And to me, the Poetic Justice League is a group of people who are supportive of one another in their ambitions for poetry, always inspiring each other and making change together as well.
Thanks. Thanks. Is it Elise?
It's Elise.
Elise, I'm sorry, Elise.
It's all right. But yeah, I'm Elise. I recently graduated from Carrboro, actually, and I'm headed to UNC. But the Poetic Justice League has been a great starting point, I feel, in terms of my poetic career and especially going into college. It's been a great starting off point and
I love it. Thank you. Thank you. Delaney? Hey, Delaney. So let's go to Audrey and then come back to Delaney.
Hi, I'm Audrey. I'm going to be a junior, and the Poetic Justice League is really, for me, has been a way to share my work with the community and my peers and fellow members, and it's a really great environment for uplifting each other as well.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Delaney. Some audio trouble with the line. So, Raquel, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and how you fit into this wonderful organization?
Absolutely. My name is Raquel Harris, and I am one of the co-facilitators for Poetic Justice League. It was really born out of our top 10 finalists for Poet Laureate of our school. And, you know, we just saw all of this burgeoning talent and thought, you know, we didn't want to lose all of the beauty of camaraderie over competition that we had been seeing. And so we had this idea that to support the Poet Laureate, why not continue to keep these kids together? They're so passionate, so vibrant, so social justice focused. And so it grows every year by both students coming in, students going out, and it's just been this absolute beautiful, you know, flow of inspiration. So I'm continually just floored by the level of dedication, commitment, and truly inspiration that comes out of these students.
Wow. Well said. And thank you for your commitment. You play a vital role in this as well. So we really appreciate it. Yeah. And I tell you, our young people, you know, you just have to love what you see and hear, like through social media, music, sports. That, I mean, they're doing a plethora of things and just really showing how creative they are and can be. But let me ask the group this. I want you to tell me, like, why poetry? Out of all the things that I said, why? What drew you to poetry? Who wants to go first?
I can go first. For me, I would say poetry is one of my passions because as someone who just historically has been more shy and more introverted, it's a way for me to share what I'm thinking and share my voice with others, and also bring out my creative side while doing that.
Yes, I like that. I like that. Anyone else want to chime in?
For me, poetry has always been a way to express my emotions since I'm not really a direct person and I don't like talking about my emotions in like a direct manner. And when I'm writing poetry, I feel like I can do that without literally saying what I feel, but people still feel the emotion in it.
Yes, I like that. Anyone else?
Kind of similar to what Jim said, I think poetry is a really good way just to articulate the emotions and to really put it to words, and especially in a way that is translatable to a larger audience, and you can make sometimes more specific feelings or more specific circumstances or situations a much more broader and universal topic that I think a lot of people can connect to.
Man, these are some great answers. And I was thinking as you were saying that about, like, even my first time doing poetry and rapping, like the emotion that was attached to it and the impact that I felt it would have on the listeners. But do you remember the first time that you wrote a poem and how it made you feel? Like, what happened? Is there a story behind that? And
Black Farmers Hub is located at 1409 Cross Street in Raleigh. Stop by Nature's 360 Cafe for your herbs, favorite acai bowls, smoothies, and juices. And join us for Mental Health, Wealth, and Wellness Mondays.
Come get your $25 fast.
I don't precisely remember, like, the first poem I ever wrote, per se. I think some of my earliest poems was when I was, like, 10 or 12 that I can remember. And they were kind of tied. Some of them were more frivolous and not like as like heavy as some of my poetry is now. But I think some of it was also like beginning of that, like where my poetry sits now as a little bit more heavy and a little bit more introspective of what's happening currently in my life.
Yeah. You said 10 or 12. Well, that's impressive. Anyone else?
This is funny because in preparing for this podcast, I was looking back and I was finding like more and more poetry that I wrote when I was younger. I think I started probably kind of near Elise's age, like around fifth grade. And it was more like frivolous, like poems about nature, poems about things, but it was kind of just starting to observe and look around me and write about that.
Yes, yes. GM, you were going to say something as well?
Yeah, piggybacking off Naomi, some of the first poems I wrote were mainly for school, and I just wrote about nature and stuff, but also, like, going much deeper into poetry, I've been writing more about complex human emotions, like breakups, childhood trauma, and mental health, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's heavy. And I know I love what Ms. Harris said at the beginning about the social justice dynamic of what y'all do. What do you want adults to, if you could tell us anything right now, what is the biggest thing you wish we understood about young people?
I think going off of what Ms. Harris said, there's definitely like stereotypes for people of different ages. Like I think younger people think of older people sometimes in one box, and then older people might think of younger people in one box. But it all comes to show that we all have different perspectives. And I don't think the point is that it's okay to have different perspectives and be able to share it. So I guess for adults, I just ask them to be, like Ms. Harris is saying, open to listening and just having conversation, because the worst thing you can do is learn something new.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Now, what do the young people think about the older people? I'm curious.
I think there's a stereotype that older people are maybe more stuck in their ways or have some sort of quote unquote outdated way of doing things, when that's not necessarily true. It's just different contexts, different circumstances.
I appreciate that honesty. Thank you. Thank you. And what about so you say if you tell us something and we're listening, is there a struggle? Is there a hurdle? Do you have a hard time talking about your emotions? I think the poetry is one outlet, but in general, do you think that that's challenging? And any of you can answer that.
For me, I think it's very challenging to talk about my emotions, especially to older adults, because some part in me wants to get all the emotions out, but another part of me feels like they wouldn't understand what I'm going through.
Yeah. I get that. I get that. Anyone else?
I would say similar to Jem, I've always just not really been someone to bring up like the types of emotions that I might write about, for example. And like you said, like poetry is just a big outlet for me that just makes it a lot easier to like convey my emotions and my thoughts, and maybe not such a like upfront way that might feel very blunt to just bring up in a conversation.
Man, these are good answers. Thank you. Anyone else? Yeah, that's spot on, all of that. And now let's talk about, I'm always, and I am not, I'm being so truthful. I've spoken to some of my colleagues, and I'm just bragging about y'all, the name, like the Poetic Justice League. After I met y'all at the Juneteenth event, I went to another event that I promoted. And I just could, I was like, I met this group, the Poetic Justice League, and just the play on word is just so I'm intrigued. Tell us about the name, because I think it's a powerful name. How did you come up with it? What was the meaning behind it? All that good stuff.
I mean, I probably will mention first, and then I would love Elise, she's our most senior member, mm-hmm. to talk about it a little bit or what it means to you. So, I mean, the name really came from the fact that, like, I think that Mr. Murchison and I, my co-teacher and I, for the Poetic Justice League, we just realized that so many of the topics that our students were writing about were so deep and so resonant, and they were really a cry to hear me. and hear me on a platform that is safe for me. And that's something that I kind of heard in both what Jem, Naomi, and Audrey all kind of shared about, you know, why it might be hard to talk to adults or talk to anyone about these deeper emotions. And I feel like, you know, poetry gives you permission to be raw, and poetry gives you permission to say words that you wouldn't say in a way that is both beautifully, paradoxically direct and indirect at the same time, where you can say your truth, but also you know that you have a timeline. I have these 3 minutes. I'm going to share my truth. And then I'm going to step down and it's someone else's turn. And I feel like, you know, this community is really built again on community, not on competition. And the more that we outreach, the more I think the students have completely enveloped what it means to, you know, be in their community. I mean, they volunteer for, you know, farmers markets. They have written poetry with little kids in our community. They've hosted events. They've showed up for, you know, Juneteenth and Pride Fest and West End Poetry Festival and all of these different avenues. So I'm going to hand it to Elise. What does that title mean to you?
I think you did a pretty good job of explaining it. I think we really strive for that community aspect. We strive for that aspect of togetherness in building a community that is not only involving, like revolving around poetry, but also outside of that, and showing up for who we can and what we can, when we can. And I think that just our group of people in the Poetic Justice League are just very caring people. We're all very involved people. We're all very emotionally involved people, especially. I know several of us do volunteering things outside of what we do for Poetic Justice League. So I think we all have a strive for helping others. And I think that that's just become a part of our mission, and it's infused in what we do in poetry, and it's infused in what we do outside of poetry, and it's infused in our events and what we write and just everything that we are doing. And so I think that that has become really important to all of us, both as individuals and as a group.
That is such a great answer and a wonderful perspective. And it speaks to the current climate when you talk about creatives. I was just having this conversation with a pastor friend of mine, and I was just talking about when I was coming up, everything was very competitive. And it was like, whoever went on last, that's what you strive for. It's like, I want to be the last. You know, it's just a different environment. And what I see now, I see what you just said, the community supporting each other, cheering each other on. I saw y'all do it at the Juneteenth event. And it's just a great feeling to experience it and witness that. So thank you. Thank you. Who actually came up with the name? Do you remember the origin of, hey, I like Poetic Justice, and I'm seeing so many play on words with that name. Do you remember, Elise?
I think Ms. Harris actually came up with it initially, and we might have played around with it a little, but I think the initial idea was from her when she started the Poetic Justice League based off of the finalists for the Poet Laureate of the school. And so she kind of was like, what if we have a league? What if we do this? And so we kind of took a comic spin with stealing the Justice League part. But yeah, I think it definitely started with Ms. Ayers.
Yeah. And then I think like the social justice, there's so many play on words. It's the Poetic Justice from the movie in the 90s. Then it's the Justice League, like you said. And then just social justice. I mean, I'm just, yeah, I love it.
I have to say, I'm going to interrupt for one second just because today there was just such an amazing, this is actually their second event today, which happens because I feel like I'm just a talent agent for these beautiful souls. But we were doing a fundraiser at our local library, and and this older gentleman came up to us, and he and a friend, and they were really enamored by the name. You know, every event we have something called Blind Date with a Poem, where there's just a hint on the envelope, and we have free poetry for people to take. We have micro poetry in a big gumball machine that people put in a coin and they take it away.
Man.
So he was really enamored and really excited to talk to the students who were there. And I'm going to hand the mic over to Naomi in just a second so she can kind of talk about that experience. But this gentleman talked about what it means to stand up for something today, and how unbelievably brave he felt the students were to be willing to talk about hard things in the climate that we have. Mm-hmm. And he talked, I'm going to pass it. Naomi, do you feel comfortable? Can you take it from there?
Yeah. This is more general, but he was talking about his protesting experience in kind of the civil rights era. And just the way back then and still now that you have to kind of set your own boundaries and know what are you fighting for, but also how far you want to go to stand up for your rights and stand up for other people. And it was just really inspiring to hear about how maybe someone in a different generation was fighting for people's voices and how it carries over to today. And just inspiring to hear his words and his encouragement now. It meant a lot.
Man, I love that. And do you believe, Naomi, that poetry can actually make a change, make a difference?
I do, because I think it starts conversations, which is the biggest first step you can take, and spreads awareness. Even if it's not people immediately changing their mind or like erasing a stigma, I think it does kind of flip a switch and at least move towards it and make some progress, which is always important.
Well said, well said. And Autry, let me ask you, Ms. Harris laid down the foundation on this. What issues matter to you?
Yeah, I would definitely say my poetry tends to be about kind of reflecting human nature through nature itself, like kind of conveying these emotions of maybe not fully fitting into the box that people want to see you in, or some of the stereotypes around women, and kind of like we were talking about before, really changing the perspective of how people receive young people. And
yeah I love that. Anyone else want to chime in on that, about issues that really matter to them? So let me ask Delaney, are you okay now? I know you were having some audio trouble. I think we're still here. So Jim, let me ask you, let's talk about social media. Do you believe that social media is easier for young people to find their voice through social media, or do you think it's harder with so much going on?
I think it's easier for younger people to find their voice in social media, because mostly the people who are in social media are actually their peers, and they have like a closer chance to relating to each other. But also at the same time, all humans are complex and we are different beings. We have individual universes in all of our brains, and I just don't think we were really meant to understand each other fully. Like, I mean, you can get your voice out there in social media and someone might relate to you in some way, but they can never fully encapsulate what you're feeling.
I like that. Anyone else? So as we start closing and wrapping this up, I want to ask you all this. I hope all of y'all can chime in. If you could change anything right now, and this could be just the social climate, whatever you want, what would it be? What would you change right now? And I think I'll start with Audrey.
Yeah, there's definitely, I feel like there's a lot of things, that could be like slightly better, but one of the big things, I guess, is just, the biggest thing is community, which in here in Chapel Hill and Carrboro, it's been amazing, like everywhere we go, but I really want everyone to be able to have a kind of community, that I've seen here and, really like, always the like the perspectives. I feel like I hear so many stories from whether it be guest speakers or just like the interaction at the bake sale today, like just hearing someone else's story, it changing your perspective on something, it really impacts people and maybe makes them go through their life in a way that really makes room for others more.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else?
I agree with Audrey that community is really important, and it's also so important for other people to open their eyes to new perspectives, because I know some people who are like stubborn-headed, but like if you take a chance to see how the way others feel, maybe you'll see the world differently.
Yeah. Thank you.
I agree. Building on the theme of community, I think people, especially including in our country, have become more politically polarized. So I think just if we took more time to have conversations and really understand people for their individual stories instead of just pushing in a box and a stereotype and being like, they're doing wrong when really maybe it's not them, maybe it's their experience, the other factors, that would be really important. So community and hearing out people, giving them a chance.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you.
I feel like to weigh in, we had an amazing guest speaker come in. His name is CJ Suit, and he's a phenomenal poet, and has become, I would say, somewhat of a mentor to this group of students because they've been able to see him in several capacities. But one thing I think that he reminded everyone, and one thing that like is really important to me, is making sure that your voice is not a hindrance to moving forward. That just because you're invited to the table doesn't mean you have to speak all the time. Yeah. And I think that, you know, being invited to the conversation and kind of waiting for that invitation instead of, I mean, I think one thing that he was talking about is like, even if you're trying to do something in the name of progress, make sure that you're invited to that conversation, that it's yours to have. And I think that, my daughter has talked about this in growing up in Carrboro and Chapel Hill. It's such a beautiful blend of activism and social justice that people become so emblazoned with wanting truth and justice that they sometimes speak for someone who could speak for themselves. And I think that kind of, as Naomi was saying, you know, making sure that you take the time to hear someone's story so that you don't misrepresent their story, or that you become that quiet companion who stands alongside them as they share their story for the first time. I think that that's another big thing that I would love to see continue to change. And that's something that I've beautifully seen with this group of Poetic Justice League students, is really them encouraging each other to share their story. You know, it's not let me write about that for you, or let me talk about that for you. It's a pass the mic situation of like, knowing, you know, who might have the best perspective on that, or who might have, you know, a piece that, that they'd love to share. Like, Elise, you know, had a really beautiful piece about gun violence, and like when we had, I think it was Poetry, Popcorn and Pie. I believe that was one of the times that, that you shared that piece, and it echoed throughout the hall. Right. And then, recently for, around the Juneteenth celebrations, the students wrote a collective piece together where I don't remember whose idea it was, but it was such a good idea. It wasn't mine. Where the last line of one of their stanzas became the first line of the next student stanza. And if it was one of you guys whose idea that was, please speak up. But it was so brilliant. And it just really played to their strengths. And even like the flow of who took whose line kind of built in momentum and then evened out again. Like it swelled. It was just beautiful. I would love each of you to talk about like what that meant to be a part of kind of like that piece and crafting that, or, you know, speaking together, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was,
I'd say it was definitely a great experience to feel very like unified. Like we always perform as a group and feel very uplifted by each other. But in that piece specifically, it's just everyone's ideas all kind of like flowed into one. And we captured all the styles and kind of like personality of everyone in the group while conveying our main message, which was a really cool project to do.
Excellent.
That was really cool. That was like one of our first like collective performance pieces kind of thing. And it was really amazing just to see all of us up there sharing the spotlight and like reading poetry, like in our own style, but also it all had a common theme. So yeah, I look forward to hopefully doing it again, but it was really cool.
Awesome. Yeah. Anyone else?
I also agree to both Naomi and Audrey that it was a very, very beautiful piece. And I felt like the members of PJL were weaving themselves together.
Thank you. Thank you. Right. One more. Was Elise the only one that we're waiting for?
I think that kind of the same of what everybody said of like it was a really great piece to see each other's strengths and build off of them and incorporate ourselves into that tapestry of a poem. I think it was a really great exercise of itself, and I think it created a really beautiful piece that I think conveyed our meaning very well.
Thank you. Thank you. I will say powerful lesson in listening, because we can have all the good intentions, but that person will still feel invisible if we're speaking for them. It's no different than ignoring them. So I'm glad you brought that up. It's just such a powerful lesson. As we close, I always do this on the show. I let my guests talk about whatever they want. If there are any events going on, if you want to share a poem, that's totally up to you as well. But whatever you want to say, if you want to leave some words of encouragement for someone listening right now, whether young, old, or just going through something, and you want to tell them, hey, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Whatever words of encouragement you want to say, I'm going to give it to each of you and let you just share your thoughts. And I'm going to start with who I see first on the screen. Jim, any words, anything you want to share?
I actually have a poem I would like to read, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
So you said like something to say to the audience. So I have this poem called Paper Stars, and it's about mental health. Paper Stars, Part 1, The Creator. I cut the strips, tied the knot, then folded the edges. I made paper stars yesterday. I pressed corners into points. I made them with fingers, knowing that the beauty of the stars will never outshine the paper cuts of the fingers that made them. I tucked the paper in, watched them bend into the creases. I put them in a jar, a glass for all my thoughts. So they stopped moving. So they stopped reaching. Then I started giving them away. Star by star, watching pieces of my sorrow leave my hands. They look lighter when they are trapped, but lighter still when they are no longer mine. They're in other places, and I'm here, watching pieces of my heart existing outside of me. Even time folds itself when you stop insisting that it stays flat. It bends around what you think, what you feel, and what you'll return to. The stars don't stay in my hands anymore. They move into other lives. Part 2, their perspective. The paper stars departed from their creator and unto the hands of the masses. They hold them up to the light, marveling how perfect they look, how clean the folds are, how steady the hands must have been to shape something out of nothing. They did not see the empty jar of, or the shadows pushed aside just to give away a piece of sky. They carried home what was left of you. It breathes in the rooms now. They look back at the doorway, wondering how a star maker can give away all their light and still find strength to stand in the dark. Part 3. From. It hit me in my dorm room, 7 knocks. She asked if I remember folding this paper star. I said yes. They held all the star. It was pink and yellow from the nights I spent out wringing my own mind. It helped, they muttered, placing it back in my own palm. The star had ragged edges now. It had rubbed smooth against someone else's pocket. I looked down at my hand. They felt like eggshells. My fingers ached. The scars were still stinging against paper skin. They did not vanish. The bleeding or the pain did not stop just because the star had done its job. Then again, I cut the strips, tied the knot, then folded the edges. I made paper stars today.
And I have a handful. These are Jem's paper stars. She actually makes them.
Wow.
And gives them away. And we try to have some at our events for people to take.
Yeah, you all, that was wonderful, Jem. Thank you. Naomi.
Well, okay, yeah. First off, I love that poem, Jem. That's
amazing. Yes, yes.
Heard that. That's one of my favorites from yours. And that inspired me to read my own poem. But before I say that or read it, I'll just say if I wanted the audience to know anything, it would be, like I was saying earlier, just being open to having conversations. I would encourage them to go to their own local poetry events, hear what people in their community have to say. And yeah, and this poem is one that I actually read at, I think it was our first, maybe second to Juneteenth event. It's called The Story of Change. When my freedom is rooted, my future is bound. I build my own foundation and let my growth say the rest. It's not about where we start, it's about where the journey takes us. The sky can't limit me, so I start placing stones on my plot right away, because a good story takes time to finish, and I'm not done writing mine. Even things set in stone can be erased, so I write my words in ink and say them out loud for the world to remember. Our dreams aren't manifested from our visions, but rather from our actions. I take the risk and speak my truth. My mind may live elsewhere, but my reality is in the present, and if not now, when? We go as far as our roots, so we must honor who we come from, and continue to dream for the ones who come after us. Progress was never made from clean hands. I don't wash away my blood, sweat, and tears. Instead, I use it as fire to light a spark in my heart. It spreads to my neighbors, linking my community and forming a front that not even hate can bypass. The spark turns to a flame that makes a fire, and soon the whole world is lit with change.
Beautiful. Thank you, Naomi. Delaney, we're going to have to, I'm going to have a show and just, it's just going to be you and me. We're going to, because we have shortchanged you. Can you get on now still? Audio difficulties? Man. Okay. Elise?
Delaney says she's sorry. Her mic isn't working.
Not her fault.
But before I start, great poem, Naomi and Jim, of course, as always. I unfortunately do not have a poem to share, but I wanted to circle back to the question earlier about change and how everyone talked about community. I think also something that I would include in that is protecting community, is making sure that the people in our community are taken care of and are given the equal opportunities to thrive in our community. And then also I would like to mention that I have a poetry book for sale. It can be found on Ingram Spark and also on my Instagram, which is at Forest Fay Poet.
I love that. Repeat both of those again. I want to make certain our listeners hear that.
Yeah. Both what I said about the community question and the other thing.
The where they can purchase your book.
Oh. Yes, it's at Ingram Spark. It's a publishing company, a self-publishing company. And then also it's linked on my Instagram, which is at Forest Fay Poet.
And maybe tell them the title of the book.
Yes, and it's a poetry collection called Speech Therapy, Eating Disorders, and Dyslexic Speculation.
Wow. Man, you're deep. And I love what you said, too, about protecting community. We have a duty to look after those who can't sometimes look after themselves properly. So that is just it just shows your heart. Thank you so much for sharing that. Audrey.
Yes, I also did not bring a poem to read, but I'd love to share some words of like endearment or like advice. Like you were saying, this is a line that I sometimes use in my poetry. It's like also a quote that I heard that I really liked and decided to use, but it was not dark because you buried me, but because you planted me.
Wow. Thank you. Very, very impactful. And Ms. Harris, do you have any final words?
I have all the words, all the time. Too many words.
No.
As a little plug, I would say, like, please just keep following these kids. I'm going to have, Elise is very good at our social media. So at the end of me talking, please tell them where they can follow us and find us. We do have another upcoming event. It's going to be on Friday, August 21st at Flyleaf Books. We're going to have a poetry reading before school starts for them and gets crazy. And each poet that is able to go is going to share about three pieces. So it's a really great time to reintroduce yourself to their voices if you've not heard them before. So again, it's Flyleaf Books, and it's in Chapel Hill, and it is from 4:30 to 6 p.m. I think that's great. But and then I have a final piece today, and this is called Mess. It's a poem that I wrote essentially for my students who I think we all have kind of, as Elise was alluding to earlier, and Jem, we have this idea that everyone else has it together and that everyone else you know, is doing things perfectly. And there's this really kind of unreachable facade, I think, on social media that everything is picture perfect. And so this piece is called Mess. We are all of us a bit of a mess, aren't we? Bits of expectation and noise, a collection of pieces and almosts, a culmination of where we expected ourselves to be and where we actually are. I think God would melancholically sigh, actually. I think he would put his forehead to yours or to mine and shake his head, infinite wisdom only atoms away. Yet it might be light years for all that we would glean as he tried to impart the part of the plan that was you and me, my mess and yours. When in company are closer, I think, to that understanding, they are less chaos and more color, less pain and more the abstract edge of something beautiful one has to squint to make sight of. It's not an accident, I don't think, that you are you and I, and we find ourselves needing one another still and suddenly. When this life is all that it is, and these hours and days crescendo in the heartbeats and heartbreaks that continue to shape and reform us, you are not far off. I am right behind. Never mind that your mind tries to convince you otherwise, for we are, each of us, a bit of a mess after all, and gloriously so.
Wow. Powerful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for modeling the way and really putting this together again and for your commitment. So, Elise, you want to give us the social media handles?
Yes. So I think we're currently only on Instagram. And you can find us at CHS Poetic Justice League. And then on there, we also have linked a link tree to where we hold the websites of our current members and some of our past members, as well as links to a calendar that we keep of poetry events around the area, as well as events that we're doing that are coming up, and just other things that we deem poetic.
Thank you. Thank you.
And just.
I absolutely love this. And I will say this, you know, you always hear, hey, young people, they're our future, but no, you're our present. I mean, that means we need to listen right now. I grew up in a time, I can tell you, where they would tell young people, hey, sit down, be quiet, and just listen. And I am so glad that we're past that, because we can learn a lot from you. You guys inspire me on levels that you don't even know. So please keep doing what you're doing. Keep inspiring. And I love your community. I love how you support one another. And I love the passion in your words of words of magic, inspiration, and just they're just so touching. So thank y'all again, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, the Poetic Justice League.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown Preacher.